another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your gracious host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And today, I am broadcasting live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And you know, I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for joining me from all over the world. And my declaration over your life is that the best is yet to come. And you know, I say every Sunday that I believe that if you are listening to this show, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here because possibly you've been crying out to God, you've been searching for answers, where today you will find solutions here. Thank you so much once again, especially all of my international listeners. I just love hearing from you, and I'm so grateful to God for having the opportunity to share with you today. Well, how is everyone doing? Can you believe that it is almost October? I'm doing really well, really enjoying this beautiful fall weather here in Atlanta. And just really excited about the great things that the Spirit of God has not only for me, but also for you. You know, today is possibly one of the most serious and clinical shows that I'm going to be teaching on. And I want you to call some of your friends, anybody who's in a difficult relationship, anybody who's looking for a relationship, someone maybe who's just gone through a divorce or just through a really traumatic breakup. I want you to call them and tell them to listen to this show, because today I'm going to be your clinical psychotherapist. I got that out, in the area of relationships. And so I want you to listen quickly to these quick commercials, and I will be right back to talk about attracting the love that you deserve or desire, whether you are married or single. I'll be right back.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold. Do you have an upcoming conference or an event where you need a keynote speaker or leadership training? With over 25 years of experience, I am a recognized international leader in the areas of self-motivation and maximizing human potential. I have been the featured keynote speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies such as Delta Airlines, Lockheed Martin, and the Russell Simmons Success Tour. I would love to partner with you to develop customized speaking and training that would change and empower your organization in 2011. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my speakers page to see a detailed listing of my clientele and speaking services. Or you can email me personally at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed those great commercials, and especially my commercial on being your keynote speaker. I've been speaking for almost 20 years, and I would love to come and partner with you and your organization and just make your event just a phenomenal, unforgettable one. So contact me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. all of you know that I have great tools that I have designed just with you in mind, my coaching packages, my pay-as-you-go, my ebook that you can download and just begin to do the inner work, because you know my motto and my belief is that it is an inside job. Well, are you ready? Today I'm going to take my time and I'm going to be talking about attracting the love that you deserve or desire, whether you are married or single. You know, 50% of all people who get married get divorced, and having a healthy, wonderful relationship is really ingrained deeply on the inside of all of us. And so no wonder that relationship really is the number one question that I get. And everybody wants to know, how can I find love? How can I sustain this love? How can I really better this relationship or marriage that I'm in? How can I heal and move forward, etc.? So today I'm going to be talking to you about how to do that. I'm going to go very slow and probably for the first time be very clinical with you. So I want you to listen very carefully. Are you ready? You know, everyone desires love, and love is just as vital as the air that we breathe and the food that we eat. And studies have shown that children in orphanages that might receive food and they might receive changing of their diapers and adequate sleep, that if they are not touched, loved, and nurtured, that they literally die from lack of touch. And so, as I said earlier, I get emails all of the time around relationships. And for 10 years, I conducted support groups around healthy relationships, and I guess I have probably helped thousands in that area. For years, I conducted couples counseling. I conducted a support group for women called Women Who Love Too Much. I conducted 12 steps healthy relationship groups. And of course, out of my own need, my own struggles in my 20s and 30s in the area of relationships, I really just cried out to God and said, God, you've got to help me. And maybe some of you are saying the same thing. I was just sick and tired of the same thing happening in my life. So today we're going to take a look at how to identify and deal with your own stuff so that you can attract, sustain, and maintain love in your life. How many of you are interested in that? And as I said earlier, call any of your friends who've been calling you every day, talking to you about the same thing in their relationships, because today I believe that you're going to receive the help that you desire. So I'm going to be taking an in-depth clinical look at how your behavior, your thinking, and your choices were formed as a child, and how now many of you have been walking in that behavior and making poor choices in relationships. Anybody out there ever made poor choices? I have both of my hands up. What was your relationship like with your mom and the role that that played? What was your relationship like with your dad and the role that that played? And we're going to take a look at the common thread or the common theme in the relationship that you've chosen in the past. And then how can we identify them and replace them and make higher choices? I know in my own life personally, I made really poor choices out of low self-esteem, out of looking for a father to take care of me. And I always say, whatever you do not get in your childhood, you are starving for that. And if you do not get the healing and the wholeness that you need, you will be looking for that your entire life. And so in my life, my dad, and I had great parents. My dad was very loving, but he was rather nonverbal, and I believe very demanding of me in that I was the first African American in my community to go to school. I mean, what pressure. As I've shared with you earlier, I had my master's degree by the time I was 21. That's almost impossible. And so I became very performance-based. I was looking for my dad to say, you're great, you're special, you're awesome, and he just did not know how to do that. And certainly, we are not here tonight to blame anyone. My mother was very loving and nurturing, but I'm going to say up front, your mother nurtures you, but your father speaks into your life and tells you who you are. That's why if a woman has had a dad who's spoken into her life and say that you're special, you're great, you're awesome, that has taken root on the inside of her, and she would not necessarily go out looking for a relationship that will affirm her. The same thing with the male. Studies have shown that when men have had strong male fathers in their life that have spoken into their lives, because believe it or not, ladies, men also need to be affirmed. You are a great man. You are a smart man. You are a great decision maker. I affirm you and I love you. When those things are missing in our lives, it sets us up to make poor choices in relationships. So let me make some generous statements first of all. God has a plan for your life. And, you know, I believe that God has predestined good things, which includes a great relationship for you. And God is really interested in relationships. If you believe in the Bible, and I'm a Christian, in the Garden of Eden, Adam had everything. He had the animals. He had money. He had all kind of foods. He could eat from any fruit tree. But God looked at him and said, Adam, you have it going on, my brother, but it's not good that you be alone. And so God presented Eve as a helper to him, a companion to him. So God recognizes our need. You got to remember, God is in the business of relationship. God wants us to commune with him, to communicate with spirit, to spend time with spirit. And so God understands and put that desire on the inside of us for love. And so I say God is the great matchmaker. Isn't that great? Because he is the great God of the universe that can really bring love into your life. And the first miracle that God performed in the New Testament was at a wedding. Isn't that interesting? I think that everything in the Bible is principle centered, and that was, God did that on purpose so that he could show us, look guys, I'm really concerned about you and relationships. And so when it comes to your relationships, whatever you do not acknowledge and heal will not change. And so if you've been married 2, 3, 4 times, I want you to listen to this show. This is not just for single people, but this is for everyone who is in a relationship. I'm going to spend the first half of the program talking about singles, but all of you married people, you can listen to this and then learn from some of the information that I'm going to be sharing. And so if you keep choosing the same kind of men, maybe men or women who will not commit to you, maybe you're in relationships where you always do all of the giving. I've had people say, Constance, why do I keep attracting losers? And I'm going to say to you, you never choose any higher than how you see yourself. You never choose any higher than how you view yourself. So whatever self-image, sense of worthiness, sense of self-value, self-esteem would determine the relationships that you choose. So I'm going to be teaching from a clinical, psychological, and spiritual perspective today. Are you ready? All right, so how did you get to where you are today in the area of relationships? The first one is your family systems. And 99% of us came from a dysfunctional family. What is that? A dysfunctional family is simply a family that doesn't function like it should. How should that be? You should have a mom and dad, children that are loved, affirmed, valued, nurtured, etc. And we're not here to blame, because we know that blaming does not change anything. And so something is dysfunctional if it doesn't work properly. And the example that I've always used is if you have a cup, a plastic cup, and it has a hole in it and you put water in it, and the water leaks out, that's dysfunctional. If you have a pen that does not write properly, that's dysfunctional. And so whenever you did not receive the love, the nurturance that you need, it created ideas, behaviors, and systems on the inside of you. And as a result, you have multiplied and replicated adult experiences that lined up with your childhood. And so we know that our parents really did the best that they could. If you were raised by somebody else other than your mother, you may have abandonment issues. If you never knew your dad, you may find yourself choosing relationships where you're very clingy. Whatever you did not get in your childhood, whatever has not been healed from childhood, is still in you, and you have probably been choosing and living your life from a wounded place. And no wonder you have so many people trying to use the law of attraction. And I always say that you need to go inside and deal with your stuff, because you cannot attract anything and it remain and you sustain it when you are not healed and whole. So let me just break it down to you in really clinical terms. What impact did your family systems and role play in your choices? And, you know, we don't even know that we're in these roles, but when you're born in a family, we sort of unconsciously take on the roles that were designed to allow our family to really just present a great image on the outside, and it provided a sense of purpose, and it taught people how to cope within family systems. And so what I want you to do is I want you to choose one of these personalities or roles that most identified you, and then take a look at it to see how has that role manifested in you choosing relationships. I'm going to go really slow. So there are four different personality types or four different roles that all of us choose. I want you to choose the most dominant one. Say dominant. I know that we all have some aspects of most of these in our lives. The first one is the family hero, and that was me. I have my hand up. The family hero is usually the oldest child, and it's usually the perfectionist. And usually as a child, the family hero was involved in all kind of school activities. They were the excellent student. They were involved in all kind of extracurricular activities. And so they were very driven. So when they grow up, they become very driven. They are overachievers. Everything is performance-based. It's based on how well they do. And as a child, the family hero sort of shoulders the responsibility of everybody else. And really, they're really seeking self-worth. And so what happens is, if you do not get healing for that, when you grow up feeling like that in order for you to receive love, you got to achieve, you got to be a great sexual person. You end up like I did, taking care of men. When I say that, you know, I was always trying to help men with a business plan, trying to help people come up with million-dollar ideas, because what? I was the family hero. I was the one who really carried the image of the family. And so there's nothing wrong with that role, except for it's based out of perfection. It's externally driven. So as an adult, if you do not get healed, what you're going to be is an overachiever. And on the outside, you look good. But on the inside, the bottom line is you have a sense of inadequacy. And so from that sense of inadequacy, you make choices in relationships. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, so that's the family hero. That's the oldest child, etc. Now, the second role that some of you probably have taken on is the scapegoat. And the scapegoat is the child who needs attention. And so what they do is they begin maybe using drugs. They're rebellious. They may use alcohol. In high school, there might be delinquency. They might have poor school performance. And so in an adult life, they're like irresponsible. They may be the party animal. They don't like structure. Don't box me in. I'm not going to bend to a system. And they may appear to be very rebellious. And so the scapegoat really has a sense of anger, hurt, and rejection. And so when they become an adult, can you imagine being attracted to a person who is still walking in that role? They're very irresistible, but then once you start dating them, then they become very difficult. They may drink a lot, become alcoholics, rebellious, and irresponsible. And so there are so many scapegoats. And I know that I work with a lot of people in the 12-step AA, NA, Narcotics Anonymous groups. And most of their roles and personality was the scapegoat role. And so the first one was what? Family hero. The second one was the scapegoat. And I would say the scapegoat has a lot of anger. They're angry. But I would say underneath anger, you need to look at that person has been hurt or rejected or really disappointed. All right, the third role, and we're talking about how we are formed early in our lives and why we begin to make choices from those very wounded places. The next one is the lost child. The lost child is a quiet, withdrawn child. That child may be in a corner. They don't like to draw a lot of attention to themselves. They don't really want to burden the family. And so they're really often overlooked. They might feel lonely, sort of depressed and rejected. And so when they grow up, they really have difficulty connecting. They may be alone. They may be loners. They don't really share their feelings with people. They might be perceived as antisocial. And they're almost invisible. A lot of lost children are overweight. They go to food and TV to really nurture them because they really cannot share how they feel. And so just imagine if your role is the lost child role, you'll be what? Making selections in relationships from a very wounded place. Or if you are attracted to or married to a lost child, you may meet a man and he may have very repressed feelings. He may hold everything on the inside. He may be a loner and not able to communicate. And usually the people who take on the role of the lost child when they grow up are most suicidal because they've held things in for years and don't really have a place of a freedom, a place to really talk and share. They don't know how to set boundaries with people, and so because of that, they have a very high rate of just suicide. All right, so that's the third role that many of us play. Have you already identified your role? And we all are still walking in these four roles or these four different personality types. But once we become whole and healed, we can be empowered in those roles and not really operate from a wounded, dysfunctional place. And the last one is the mascot. And the mascot is most frequently the youngest child. And the mascot role is to be cute and funny and humorous. I mean, they're the life of the party. And they really provide an escape from possibly many painful events by entertaining people. Have you ever been around somebody and they're just so funny and hilarious, and they might be the class clown, and everybody may say, oh, you're just so funny, I just love being around you, but really they feel confused, they feel helpless and frightened, and really they don't really know how to honestly communicate what's really going on with them. And so when this person grows up, because they have taken on that role as a child, they may be the most funniest person that you know, but on the inside, they are carrying a lot of hurt, unmet needs. So I want you to take a look at that. Which one of those four roles are you playing? And if you have not received the healing and the wholeness from those roles, you're going to be choosing relationships from a very dysfunctional place. And I'll take me, for example. I'm certainly still the hero child, but I know that my worth does not come from my doing. I'm not performance-based. I think most of the time I feel very adequate. My self-sufficiency is in God. But it took me years. It doesn't have to take you years, but it took me years to bring wholeness to myself. I was just counseling a couple, I think last week, I think it was, and the lady is married to a lost child, and this man, he doesn't talk, he holds everything in, he's extremely overweight, he's obese, and so he's 50 years old, and he has never gotten healing from all of the childhood issues. And I'm saying to you, if you want to change your life, not only attract love in your life, you need to take a look at the patterns and the behaviors in your life and begin to get healing from that. And from that role, become a very powerful person. All right, so once you've identified whether or not you're the hero, you're usually the oldest, the scapegoat that's filled with anger, resentment, sometimes it's more prone to addictions. And the addictions don't just have to be alcohol and drugs. It can be food. It can be gambling. It can be excitement, anything. Rebellious. Don't fence me in. I don't like rules. I don't like traditions. I'm going to create my own. And usually scapegoats start businesses. They don't really like to submit to authority. They start businesses but never really complete them. Or you might be the mascot, which is really the clown, the person that just keeps you laughing. But on the inside, that person is really feeling hatred many times and really hurting. So which one are you? Are you the mascot? Are you the lost child? Are you the hero child? Are you the scapegoat? So once you identify what those are and realize that you've been choosing relationships from those roles, I want you to identify which one is and then determine which one you are and then take a look at the common theme or the common thread when it comes to you about choosing relationships. Is that common thread that you always choose men that are abusive? Is that common thread is that you always choose women who don't love you and leave you? Is that common thread you always choose people who you have to rescue? What is the common theme or thread? Write down how did those relationships begin and how did those relationships end. I remember counseling a family, beautiful girls, all five girls. All five girls were not married, and all five girls dated married men. And the common theme in their life was from their mother, you can't trust men because their father left, cheated on their mom for years, and then left them, abandoned them for a younger woman. And so they never healed from that. And I thought it was so interesting that those girls, as beautiful as they are, chose to marry, date a married man. Now, a married man means that I don't have to commit to you. A married man means that I don't have to give myself totally to you. If you're dating a married man right now or a married woman, that person is emotionally unavailable to you. They cannot give themselves to you. And so it was only when we took a look at that common thread in their lives that we realized what was going on there. All right, so the hero child really marries someone that they can help. They, for example, I want to help make you rich. I want to help you to make more money, etc. The scapegoat is initially exciting, but then they may use alcohol in the relationship, and the relationship just goes up and down. And then the lost child marries somebody, but then they don't know how to share their feelings. And the mascot, usually when you first meet a mascot, they're outgoing, they're the life of the party, they're extroverted, but on the inside they have a lot of needs. And I'm going to say, if you're looking for a relationship, if you are a mess and he's a mess, when you come together, you're going to have one big mess. And so you need to begin to take a look at what is the common theme that's been in my relationships. So I'm going to read some of these, and I want you to see which one of these can you connect to. We're talking about attracting and keeping the love that you deserve and desire in your life. All right. People from dysfunctional families don't feel happy or peaceful with themselves. Look for happiness outside of themselves. I did that for years. Latch on to whoever or whatever they think can provide them happiness. Once again, something outside of them because they don't believe that they have it on the inside. Feel terribly threatened by the loss of anything or person that they think brings them happiness. So that means that they stay in relationships too long. And when a relationship does end, they're so traumatized by it because they're just thinking, oh my God, I thought this was the one. What am I going to do? Don't feel love and approval from their parents. Don't love themselves. Believe other people can't or don't love them. Desperately seek love and approval. I did this one 4 years. Often seek love from people incapable of love. I was coaching a lady, and she was with this man who was just shut down emotionally. He had just gone through a divorce. And I tell ladies, if a man is just going through a divorce, he is emotionally unavailable to you. He is wounded. He is the walking wounded. He cannot give you anything. Gentlemen, if a lady is just going through a divorce, she is the walking wounded. She is incapable of loving you. She has so much unfinished business. And so when you find yourself in the midst of dealing with a man or a woman who's going through a divorce, it tells me a lot about how you see yourself. So they often seek love from people incapable of loving. Believe other people are never there for them. What does this look like? It looks like people who say, you know something? I'm always there for people. I'm always giving to people. But when it's time for me, people are never there for me. That is a victim martyrdom spirit. They feel they need people more than they want themselves. They try to prove that they're good enough to be loved. So that means that they perform sexually. I know so many people doing stuff sexually just to be performed, and the person still has not committed to them. They do extreme things for physical appearance. They cook, they clean, trying to prove, hey, I'm good enough. They don't take time to see if other people are good for them. They're so desperate. Remember, they did not get the love that they needed in childhood. So now they're like starving for love, and they don't even take the time. They rush into relationships. Worry whether other people love or like them. Center their lives around other people. That means that they focus in on the needs of others while ignoring their own. You know, I remember when I was in undergrad school, I was so in love. How many of you remember your first love? And man, I was dating this guy, and he was out of New York, and he was a veteran. I was 19 and just so in love, my first love. And he was 26, and man, he was from New York, and here I was, a little country Tennessee girl. And I was so in love with him. I'm talking about focusing on the needs of others while ignoring my own. And, you know, I was so focused in on him that I did not study and get my work done, and I ended up graduating a semester late. So that's a great example of focusing in on the needs of others while ignoring my own. Look for relationships to provide all of their good feelings. They don't have a life, they're not happy, and they're just like, if I just had a relationship, I would be happy. And you know, you and I know that you need to already be happy, because as I'm going to talk about later on, you really attract who you are. If you want happiness, you need to be happy. All right, lose interest in their own lives when they love. How many of you ladies have girlfriends? Or maybe you are guilty of this like I was in the past. Man, when you get in a relationship, your friends cannot even find you. You cut them off. You're just so involved with this one person. You're just centered on them. You don't have time to maybe go shopping. And so you lose interest in your own life, and you're just singly focused in on that one love. You worry that other people will leave you. That is the whole abandonment issues. You don't believe that other people can take care of themselves. So you don't believe that you can take care of yourself. So a lot of women, like I was, you felt like, well, I'm not capable. I'm not adequate within my own self to bring about money. So I married a man with money. And so everybody that I knew said, okay, you need to marry a man that has money. If he doesn't have money, don't even talk to him. But what I realized, that I was really operating from that hero child again, from that whole place of inadequacy. Staying in relationships that don't work. I know so many people, women, who are sick emotionally, psychologically, and physically because they have been in toxic relationships, emotionally draining relationships for years. And studies have shown that when women or men stay in those relationships, that they have migraines, that they're sicker more often, that they get colds more often. Why? Because all of the stress from that toxic relationship really puts pressure on your immune system, and you're always sick. And statistics are now showing that the people who are getting divorced at a phenomenal rate are people who have been married 20 years or more. Isn't that amazing? All right. Tolerate abuse to keep people loving them. That may show up in the form of neglect, abusive words towards you, abusive sexually, not really honoring you. The honor and value has really left the relationship, saying they're going to show up and then don't even call, not valuing you. Okay, feeling trapped in relationships. And leave bad relationships and form new ones that don't work either because they have not dealt with their own issues. Studies show that men who get divorced marry within 2 years. And many men, I love you guys, I love you men, but many men go from one hurt relationship to another hurt relationship. And that is why statistically, second marriages, I think the percentages that second marriages fail are like 70-something percent because people do not take the time to do the work prior to getting remarried again. And then the last one is wonder if they will ever find love. So these are just some areas. Can you relate to any of those? I know that I could, and some of them I still can. When I read this, I'm like, wow, there are a couple on here that I still need to work on. So we're talking about why you have not attracted the love of your life. And so you really need to begin to get the healing that you need so that you can begin to vibrate on the level that will attract love to you. It would be like you giving your 13-year-old child keys to your Mercedes to go driving, and they don't even have the experience, they don't have the tools, they haven't been taught. And so God of the universe send you a healthy person, and you're not healthy yourself, you're wounded, you're operating and vibrating from a place of woundedness, and so that's why you might be on the websites, but you cannot attract that person because there's fear on the inside of you, there's hurt on the inside of you, there's woundedness on the inside of you. And so that is the reason why. It's not because you're not working the law of attraction, but it's because your very being has not been healed and you're not vibrating at that level. I have one of my clients, and she allowed me to use her password to go on the website. And I was amazed. They have a prayer room. It was a Christian website, a dating website. And I went on there, and just in the prayer room, pray for me, I'm depressed. So how are you going to attract somebody and you're depressed? I'm not judging that person. And there were so many like that. I just broke up with my husband and I'm looking for love. I'm looking for my soulmate. I'm looking for my better half. So a lot of those requests were coming from a place of woundedness. So what am I saying? The gist of what I'm saying is that if that has happened to you and you have not received your wholeness, you need to get in therapy. You need to get in coaching. You need to get in some kind of support group. You need to get in a 12-step group. Do I believe in the laying on of hands? Yes, I do. I've received miraculous healings myself, but many of my healings have been walking through the process. Do I believe in tapping and NLP? Yes, I do. But many of your healings will have to come through a process and through time. All right, so now that we dealt with that aspect of it, let's talk about the law of attraction and your relationship. We're healed, we're whole, we're walking in a place of wholeness, and you know the law of attraction says that like attracts like. You attract who you are. And simply put, the law of attraction brings to you what you most strongly focus upon, whether you want it or not. So since you are healed and whole and you're going to be vibrating or being or living from a whole place, you will begin to attract that kind of a person. So out of your being, whatever you continually, consistently, and with feeling and emotion and power keep your attention on, you create this vibration or this belief, and that vibration brings you an exact match. And so the law of attraction can really bring to you the most wonderful love, the money, anything else that you desire if you really just begin to operate from a place of being. And how many of you know that when you're holding here, you're operating from a really powerful place of being? All right, so let's just say if you're single and you want to attract love, if you're alone and you think about loneliness, what are you going to attract? You're going to attract loneliness and lack of romance. If you're in a bad relationship and that's all you think about, you're going to attract heartache and pain. If you are infatuated by someone and in love with someone who doesn't want you, what are you going to be vibrating? You're going to be vibrating frustration and a lack of love. And so my point is that whatever you want when you're loving yourself, caring for yourself, coming from a place of wholeness, then you will attract love. So these are some things that you can do to attract love. Okay, the first thing is pray and ask God, who is the great orchestrator, the great matchmaker in the universe, to send the right person in your life, to send the condition, to send the situation, to send the experience in your life for that wonderful mate that you've been praying for. All right, so prayer is important. I believe that God has already preordained somebody especially for you where the two of you can come together, not just for the sake of marriage, but for the sake of coming together, doing great and mighty things, but you need to be healed first. And so for all of my married people, you can take all of these principles and also utilize them in your own marriage. Number two, get clear about what you want. Guys, you know I was going to say that. And when you get clear about what you want, clarity brings success. So how do you get clear about what you want? You get clear about what you want by deciding what you don't want. And I always say, write down what you don't want, and then just write down characteristics that you would really desire in a relationship. And, of course, remember, you need to already be those things. You can't ask for a man who's just fine as Brad Pitt, and he is fine. I saw him on television this week. But then you don't even go to the gym. You don't eat right. You're eating Snickers and ice cream, etc. You cannot ask for a person who's spiritual, but you don't spend any time doing your spiritual work. So you need to be whoever you want to attract, and that will come to you. The third thing is affirmations. And I'm just going to read some to you, and I want you to repeat with me. I am a radiant being filled with light and love. I love and accept myself exactly as I am. Divine love is working through me now. I love myself completely. Love comes to me easily and effortlessly. As I give love, I am instantly supplied with more. I radiate love to all persons and places and things. People are just waiting to love me, and I allow them. I breathe in universal love. I attract loving, beautiful people into my life. I always deserve love. And the last one, Louise Hay says, this is one of the most important affirmations. I love and approve of myself. Isn't that powerful? And I've just added something different there. I have added for myself, I love, approve, and value myself. So what would happen in your life if you just began to say those wonderful affirmations? I'll tell you what would happen. You will begin to attract love immediately. And why is that? Because you would be operating and being from a powerful place of love. And remember this, that when you are in love with yourself, in love with your life, in love with the world, love is the most powerful place from which you can create. All right, so that's affirmation. The next one is prepare yourself physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually for a relationship. I mean, relationships are work. I mean, you're merging two different personalities who've had two different experiences from two different cultures, two different ways of thinking and being. And prior to getting married, you really need to pray and ask God to prepare you physically, get in the best physical shape that you can emotionally. You can't be the kind of person that walks in forgiveness, or you're mad, or you're moody, or you irritable, or are you intolerant of people. You need to deal with that, and spiritually. All right? So you need to pray and ask God to teach you how to become a better woman or man prior to that person. Say, God, help me how to love unconditionally. Help me how to be understanding. Help me how to support my mate. That's a form of preparation. You need to already be praying those prayers over yourself and over your mate. All right, next one. Take a look at your ways. I know so many baby boomers say, I'm stuck in my ways. I'm like, okay, if you're stuck in your ways, how are you going to be flexible and pliable in a relationship? Personally, I'm not stuck in anything. I'm not even stuck in the way God relates to me. I'm stuck in my love for God. But you have to be flexible and pliable. You can't be judgmental or impatient. Are you open to sharing, or does everything have to be the way that you have it? What happens if you get married and your husband decides to move in your house because it's bigger? I mean, you're going to have to give us some of your closet space. What happens when he moves your favorite chair into another area? Somebody said to me that they were reading a book that says that today it's sort of set up where single people, it's designed for them to stay single because so many people are set in their ways. And I'm saying to you that if you want to attract love in your life, you need to really take a look at your ways. Do you always have to be right? Right, always having to be right. How many of you have known people like that? It just gets on my last nerve that they always have to be right, because nobody wins when you always have to be right. So take a look at your ways. The next one is don't rush. And do not date the walking wounded. I know people that have met people and then 3 weeks later they are married. I know that maybe statistically maybe 1 to 2% of those relationships maybe last for a lifetime. But most of them do not. And so who are you marrying? Take your time to know the person. What kind of divorce do they come from? What was their background like? Are they healed? How did they end their last relationships? What is their relationship with God? My mentor said that you need to see people in all seasons. What do I mean by that? You need to see them in the fall. That might be when things are not going so great in their lives. In the winter, when they might be a little down. In the summer, when they're springing forth with new ideas. And in the spring. And so you need to see a person. How do they react to their family? How do they respond to your family? What is their thinking about money? What is their thinking about raising children? So don't rush. Many people rush because there's a lack or a scarcity mentality, which is my next one. Have an abundance mentality. My grandmother used to say, honey, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Know that there is someone out there, whatever you're looking for, whatever you're searching for, is searching for you. They would love to meet you, love to date you, love to marry you. When you focus in on loss, you're focusing in on scarcity. And when you focus in on scarcity, you make difficult and incorrect decisions. So have an abundance mentality. Don't fear loneliness while you're waiting. I mean, you know, we don't know how to be with ourselves. So many people, they just obsess about finding the right person because they fear growing all alone. And so when you think about that, if you're fearful, oh my God, I'm in my 50s, my biological clock is ticking, whatever that means. If you fear that, remember, you really disallow the law of attraction, and manifestation is withheld from you. I know this one lady, she was just like, Constance, I've just got to get married. I'm in my 50s and none of my girlfriends are married and all of their marriages have failed. And so out of a sense of scarcity, and she said, I'm just so lonely. Every time I saw her, she was like, I'm so lonely. I'm just waiting for that right person to come into my life. And what happened was she met a man, married him quickly, and guess what? Because she had not dealt with her issues, even though she was married, all of my married people out there know that you can be married and still feel alone if there's not a really intimate connection there. All right? The next one is be happy before the relationships. Just like I said about my previous client, you know, if you're thinking, I'm going to be so happy when I find the love of my life and this is the missing part of my life, etc., the key to that is happiness attracts happiness. And so if you're unhappy, you need to get happy before you attract that person. I always say when a man says to me, Constance, or they might say, baby, I just want to make you happy. And you know what I say? Baby, I'm already happy. You can just bring to me more of who I am. You can just enhance more of who I am. And so you need to already be happy. Look around your life and be grateful for what's in your life right now, where you are right now, etc. All right, and then tame your expectations. I mean, television and the media has really produced for us really, I'm going to say, just all kinds of infatuations about the way love is, the way marriage is. And so if you expect for your partner or this new love to meet all of your needs, you better change your thinking. No one person can meet all of your needs. Not even your most awesome, finest, good-looking, smart, intelligent, spiritual person, they cannot meet all of your needs. So you need to tame your expectations. And somebody said, only God is more than what you expected them to be. I know so many people who were so disappointed in that first year because that first year can be tough. And I think it's tough because people have not taken the time prior to really get to know each other. I personally believe that every couple needs to go through marriage counseling before they even get married. I used to conduct a seminar on, I forgot what I called it, but is this the right person for you? And 50% of those people decided at the end of that seminar, we're not the right people for each other. And that was just very, very interesting. So tame your expectations. And then lastly, believe for God to move in your life. You know that God is concerned about every area in your life. The Bible says that the very hairs on your head are numbered. Some of you have more hairs than others. But the very hairs on your head are numbered. So see how intimate that is. See how personal that is. And so that just tells you that God understands your loneliness. He's the one that put the need for relationships on the inside of you. And so believe for God to move in your life and to bring that great relationship to you. So in summary, what have I said? And then I'm going to talk to the married people for about maybe 5 minutes. In summary, what I said is that you need to deal with your stuff. You need to identify and take a look at what in the world have I been doing? Why have I chosen? And you do choose the men or women that come into your life. One lady said, Constance, I keep attracting dogs. Well, why did you choose a dog? So when you change how you see yourself, when you become whole on the inside, when you begin to love yourself, when you've gone through counseling or coaching or support groups or 12 steps, and you've really brought that healing to yourself, when you've prayed and asked God, God, show me how to heal myself, then you will be able to attract, maintain, and sustain love. So what about people who are already married? Let me tell you what you guys can do. The first thing I want to say is you cannot change another human being. You cannot change your husband. You cannot teach to your husband. I tell women all of the time, a man does not want to sleep with his mama, his teacher, or his counselor. And some of you women have been trying to be God in your husband's lives. Leave your husband alone and deal with your own stuff. So if you're married or if you're in a committed relationship, decide that you want a better relationship. Because why? Everything begins with a decision. You're not deciding for the other person. You are deciding for yourself. You need to take a look at what are your current thought patterns and pictures that you're holding in your mind regarding this relationship. If you've been in a difficult relationship, probably your thinking is, he gets on my nerves, or she's just lazy, she doesn't clean the house. Think about why you married that person. Think about what was so exciting about that person. So you really need to take a look at the current thought patterns and pictures that you've been holding in your mind. what do you appreciate about that person? Take a look at their strengths, their skills, and the other qualities that you like, and write those down. And begin to focus in on that, because remember, whatever you think on expands or gets bigger in your life. And when a person has a flaw, many times we forget that they may be a great provider, they may be very caring with their children, but maybe they just aren't that romantic like they used to be. And so all of your attention and focus is on that, so change your focus. Remember that if you want to change, you're going to have to invest financially, emotionally, and spiritually to get your change that you desire. It's amazing to me that people say they won't change. They will spend money on a flat screen television. They'll spend money on a new motorcycle. They'll spend money on new hair, new weave, but they will not spend the money on the inside through coaching or counseling to really change their lives. All right. Take action where you can to improve the relationship. I don't know, maybe by showing gratitude or being kind, putting little notes on the mirror for your mate, finding humor, loving unconditionally, or possibly compromising more. And just make a decision that the rest of my days are going to be the best of my days. You do not have to spend your entire life being miserable in a relationship. All right, so take whatever action you can, and then create a plan for the two of you all. If your mate is open, and set up times where you might go to counseling together, where you might start having just time alone, schedule in a date night, those kinds of things to really bring the life back into the marriage or the relationships. And pray together. That's the last thing I'm going to say. Pray together. Get on your knees, or you don't have to, and say, God, here we are. We're a married couple. Please help us, etc. So there used to be a saying that a couple who prays together stays together. And statistics show that couples who pray together do stay married longer. And so today, I have shared with you some really deep stuff, and I want you to really take advantage of it. Call some people who you know are hurting. Everybody who you know who's in a relationship, who's married, who just went through a difficult breakup, who's searching for love, and tell them about this show. Any of your friends, your family, and listen to this again and again. All right, well, I would love to coach any of you who may be interested in really identifying what those deeply seated areas are in your life that have been keeping love from you. Isn't the investment worth it? So you know that I'm a licensed therapist, 25 years in the business, and so contact me today at Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com, and who knows? In a couple of months, you will be healed and whole and will be walking and vibrating and believing that you deserve love and that you're worthy of love, and you would have met the love of your life. And if you're married, certainly, I have coached and counseled so many couples. You can also email me at Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com. Well, this has been a great show, hasn't it? And I've learned so much myself. And listen to this show again and again and pray to God to really begin to show you the areas where you're hurting so that God can begin to heal you. Well, once again, thank you so much for joining me. This is Constance Arnold, your host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, saying that the rest of your days will be the best of your days. And guess what? The best. It's yet to come. I believe it. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.